Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here today. Thank you for coming to one of the earliest sessions on the final day of APHA. You guys should pat yourself on the back for that. Before I begin, I'd like to say that I nor any of my colleagues have any disclosures to make. And also today, I'm going to focus on perceived discrimination as a form of interpersonal relationships. And perceived discrimination is often described as an individual's reports of unfair treatment due to social factor attributions such as your race, your ethnicity, your gender, etc. So there's been much literature on the role of perceived discrimination in chronic disease, and the rationale being that discrimination can present as both an acute and a chronic form of stressors that may contribute to major physiological and behavioral risk factors for chronic diseases. Perceived discrimination has also been proposed as an explanation for the higher burden of chronic disease that's seen in racial and minority populations. Now, much of the literature that assesses perceived discrimination in chronic disease focuses on one form of discrimination, and that's often racial discrimination. It doesn't often include gender discrimination as a form of analysis. Also, much of the outcomes in assessing this research is mental health outcomes. And when chronic physical diseases are assessed, it's often risk factors for cardiovascular disease, such as high blood pressure. Therefore, most of the research is focused on racial discrimination and mental health. Furthermore, discrimination is rarely examined from a life course perspective. Much of the analyses are done in a cross-sectional design. And that means when early life factors are included in this design, the validity of the variable has to come into question because of adult recall bias. Therefore, very little is known about the potential influence of circumstances in earlier life periods, such as infancy and childhood, on perceived discrimination. Therefore, today, we have two objectives. We're going to use early life and adult data from a racially diverse birth cohort of U.S. women to examine two points. The first being the associations of lifetime racial and gender discrimination with chronic physical health conditions reported in adulthood. And the second, to look at the associations of lifetime racial and gender discrimination in relationship with earlier life factors that are assessed at birth as well as in childhood. Now, I want to talk to you briefly about our study design. This cohort is coming from the New York site of the Collaborative Perinatal Project. And these women were recruited during pregnancy when they were receiving prenatal care at Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center in New York City between the times of 1959 and 1963. These children were followed from birth to age 7. However, between the time of 2001 and 2006, the cohort was recontacted to do an adult follow-up study. Of those that participated in the adult follow-up study, 64% completed a long questionnaire, which included questions regarding discrimination. And the core questionnaire, 36% participated that did not include those questions. When we compare the individuals who completed the core versus the long, there were no differences across sociodemographic factors nor chronic health conditions. However, those that completed the long questionnaires were slightly younger than those who completed the core questionnaire. But ultimately, we had 168 women at baseline, with over two-thirds being of racial ethnic minority, 37% being Hispanic, and 33% identifying as non-Hispanic African American. Now, I want to go over our measures. Right now, I'll go over outcome, and then I will talk about how we define discrimination. So for our outcome, we looked at chronic physical conditions with a measure that's often used by the CDC, where we ask participants, have you ever been diagnosed by a physician as having any of the following conditions? And there's about 21 conditions that are listed that participants can choose from. However, our analysis, since we wanted to focus strictly on chronic physical conditions, we excluded reports of psychiatric and mental health outcomes. We recoded this variable as a dichotomous variable, so those individuals that reported no chronic physical conditions versus those that reported one or more chronic physical conditions. In assessing our exposure variable of interest, which was the perceived discrimination, we used Krieger's measure from 1990. which has been the most used as well as proven measure in the literature. And to note, there are 34 measures of perceived discrimination in the literature, so there's a lot to choose from. So we ask the question, have you been prevented from doing something or been hassled or made to feel inferior because of your race, ethnicity, or your gender in a variety of experiences? Now, these variables were coded in two different forms. One was a multi-level variable, which included those who report no experiences of racial discrimination, those who report 1 to 2 experiences of racial discrimination, and those that report 3 or more experiences. The dichotomous variable was those that report no experiences of racial discrimination or those that report 1 or more experiences. Gender discrimination was recoded in the same format. Now, to define overall discrimination, that's the total summation of reporting racial and or gender discrimination for that individual. And that is what we define as overall, and it's also recoded in the same format as racial and gender discrimination. So now I'd like to give you some of the prevalence that we have in our cohort regarding chronic physical conditions. And our cohort actually resembles U.S. women's statistics on chronic disease as well, where we find that 60% are reporting 1 or more chronic physical conditions, with the top 3 being cardiovascular disease, asthma, and pain. This is the prevalence of discrimination by number of reported experiences. And what we find is that 50% of our population is reporting racial discrimination, 40% is reporting gender discrimination, and 61% is reporting experiencing overall discrimination. And notably, almost 30% reported experiencing of both forms, racial and gender discrimination. This prevalence is also seen in past studies by Kessler and Krieger. Now, I want to adjust you to the chart before I go through the analysis, but I performed 2 sets of analysis, an unadjusted model and an adjusted model, looking at the relationship between specific types of discrimination and physical conditions. For this analysis, we decided to code racial discrimination as a 3-level variable, with the referent group being no experiences of discrimination. For our unadjusted model, it only includes the form of discrimination and chronic physical condition outcome. However, for the adjusted model, we only included confounders that change the beta coefficient greater than 10% when looking at discrimination's association with chronic physical conditions. And what we see here is that those individuals that are reporting 3 or more experiences of racial discrimination are about 1.5 times more likely to report a chronic physical condition in comparison to those that report no discrimination. However, in the adjusted model, this significance becomes marginal. When looking at gender discrimination, what we find is a similar pattern. Those that are reporting 3 or more experiences of gender discrimination are 1.4 times more likely to have a chronic physical condition in comparison to those that report no gender discrimination. However, once again, the association goes away after adjustment. In contrast, when we look at overall discrimination, what we find is that those that are reporting 3 or more experiences of overall have a 40% increased risk of physical chronic conditions than those that do not experience any form of discrimination. And this association remains significant after adjustment. Now, I want to focus on this last model because we wanted to understand how discrimination compared to the other covariates in the model. So we wanted to compare the magnitude of association. To do this, we took the covariates such as BMI, race, ethnicity, and income that were in the fully adjusted model, and we standardized the covariates so that we compare the magnitude of association of discrimination to them. The reason being is that in the literature, BMI, race, ethnicity, and income are strongly linked and associated with chronic physical conditions. And what we find is that discrimination has a similar magnitude of association with these known risk factors. Not only that, we see that if we compare discrimination to BMI, discrimination appears to be a stronger predictor as three or more experiences is significantly associated with reporting chronic physical conditions, whereas identifying as overweight or obese is not significantly associated in our cohort. Therefore, discrimination appears to be a better predictor. The second question that we were asking was understanding the associations between lifetime perceived discrimination and early life factors. For this analysis, we chose to only look at racial discrimination and gender discrimination as a dichotomous variable, therefore reporting no experiences or any experiences. And as you could predict, those that report identify as a racial or ethnic minority are more likely to report racial discrimination. But interestingly, there is no racial or ethnic differences in reporting gender discrimination. We also looked at socioeconomic status at birth, and we found that those that were born in the medium tertile and compared to the low tertile were suggested to have increased likelihood of reporting racial and gender discrimination, but this association was marginal. We further looked at age and menarche, and what we find is a suggested association that older age and menarche was significantly associated with reporting gender discrimination, but not so with racial discrimination. When we looked at the adult sociodemographic factors, such as education, income, marital status, and we also looked at behaviors such as smoking status, none of these variables were significant or marginally associated with reporting racial or gender discrimination. We also looked at several other early life factors. In general, we find that in our cohort, early life factors were significantly or marginally associated with reporting discrimination, greater so than the adult life factors that we were assessing. So what this is saying is that, one, discrimination is highly prevalent in our multi-ethnic cohort. And this is commonly seen across many studies, from Krieger to Kessler to Williams. What we did not observe is strong associations between early life and social environmental factors. But I want to take a moment to talk about that phenomenon. For one, it's a field that hasn't been totally assessed in a life course perspective. As I mentioned, much of the analysis that includes early life factors is by adult recall, and there's a concern for bias. Therefore, further studies need to be done assessing the association with discrimination in early life in cohort studies. And another point to continuing studies of this magnitude is because a lot of the analysis that we did, we found marginal significant associations with early life factors, but not with adult life factors, which suggests that maybe in a larger data set, we could see stronger associations. We also found that discrimination is associated with self-reported physician diagnosis of chronic conditions. Now, when we looked at our model for racial discrimination and gender discrimination, we found that after adjustment, the significance was no longer present. However, the models themselves were very similar. And what we're suggesting here is that maybe the form of discrimination is not necessarily the pertinent question. Maybe it's just experiencing discrimination. As when we look at overall discrimination from unadjusted to adjusted, it remains significant. So maybe it's just perceiving discrimination, which is unhealthy for chronic physical conditions. And this was also proven by a meta-analysis done by Pascoe and Richmond, where they showed that if you look at a meta-analysis of perceived discrimination association with physical health outcomes, those who perceive discrimination have worse physical health outcomes than those that do not. And this was looking at general perceived discrimination, not based on the form that was experienced. So we agree with Guy et al., who proposes that discrimination definitely needs to be looked at in a life course perspective, from birth all the way through adulthood, to completely understand how socioeconomic factors as well as sociodemographic factors and social supports from birth to adulthood affect perceived discrimination. So future studies are needed to understand these pathways and chronic physical conditions in relationship with a life course framework. I'd like to acknowledge the Columbia Mailman School of Public Health and my primary mentor, Dr. Terry, who's the PI of this project, and Dr. Taranafar as well, and Dr. Yuen Liao, who also assisted with this data set. I'd definitely like to thank the study staff and the participants of the New York Women's Birth Cohort, as they've been dedicated from this from 1959. And this work was supported by the U.S. Department of Defense, as well as the National Cancer Institute. Thank you for listening. So the questions regarding the conceptual relationship with how early life factors are affecting later reports of discrimination. And for one, I think that an individual experiences discrimination across their life course, and it's not just something that's experienced in adulthood. And I think that there are some studies that look at asking about discrimination experiences in adolescence because it is experienced in structural settings such as school, working, et cetera. So I do think that early life experiences in childhood and adolescence will affect. Guy et al. Also proposes that individuals who were younger will indirectly experience discrimination in early life. For example, if you're a child who has a mother or father who has to move out of their home for discrimination-type purposes, or they can't buy a home for discrimination-type purposes, then you are indirectly experiencing discrimination, and that may affect. Talking about the role of early life experiences and perceived discrimination in relationship to chronic disease, I'm very interested in epigenetics, and I know that early life experiences from early childhood could affect your physiological presentation. And because of that, I still think, you know, from reporting self-reports as well as biologically, it's important to understand the relationship between early life factors at that young age.